We're now beginning a study of the book of Job. We'd like to first of all give an introduction to the book of Job before we get into the verse-by-verse discussion. The book of Job is located in the Bible as the first of the so-called poetical or wisdom books of the Old Testament, the other four being Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Many of the wisdom books are written in poetry, and most of them, with the exception of Job, were written by David and Solomon. Most of the books belong to the time of David and Solomon, except Job is considered to be from an earlier date, and some of the Psalms are also from an earlier date. Let's notice what some people have said concerning the literary merit of the book of Job. Victor Hugo said, "The book of Job is the greatest masterpiece of the human mind." Thomas Carlyle said, "I call this book, apart from all of the theories about it, one of the grandest things ever written, our first, oldest statement of the never-ending problem, man's destiny, and God's ways with him in the earth. There is nothing written, I think, of equal literary merit." Philip Schaff said, "The book of Job rises like a pyramid in the history of literature without a predecessor and without a rival." The scene of the book of Job is located in the land of Uz. Uz is the territory between Palestine and Arabia. It extends from Eden on the south to the Euphrates River on the north. This is a large area, but the particular section of Uz, which tradition has determined to be the home of Job, was Haran, H-A-U-R-A-N. This was a region east of the Sea of Galilee, noted for fertile soil and abundant grain, once thickly populated and now dotted with the ruins of 300 cities. Haran, Hebrew spells it H-A-W-R-A-N, and it probably means black or black land. The modern name given to this is of a great plain situated on a plateau 2,000 feet high east of the Jordan River and north of the land of Gilead. In ancient times, it was called Bashan. Its soil is of volcanic origin, is very rich, and it makes the region famous for its wheat crops. The name Haran is mentioned only by Ezekiel in his description of the boundaries of the land of Israel in the millennial age, Ezekiel 47, verses 16 and 18. The Israelites never had a very great hold on this area. Now let us talk for a minute about the man Job. The Septuagint, which is the translation of the Hebrew Old Testament into the Greek language, done about 250 B.C., gives a postscript following ancient tradition identifying Job with Jobab, J-O-B-A-B, the second king of Edom, Genesis 36:33. Edomites were descendants of Esau, and their kingdom was originally just south of Uz. If this is true, the Edomite kings may have for a period of time migrated further north from the rock cliffs of Edom into the more fertile soils of the plain of Haran. But whatever the accurate details may be, the book of Job has the atmosphere of very primitive times and seems to have had its setting among the early tribes descended from Abraham. The date for the book of Job may very well have been about the same time the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage. The writer of this book of Job is not definitely known. It may have been written by one person or by two or three persons. Moses, Job, or Elihu are among those thought to have written this book or parts of it. For instance, while Moses was in the wilderness of Midian, which bordered on the Edomite country, he could have easily learned the story of Job from Job's immediate descendants, or Job may have still been alive and met Moses and given him the story. We ask the question, though, was the book of Job inspired? In James 5, 10 and 11, James says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." So James writes as though Job truly was an inspired book. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, Paul quotes from Job 5:13, and he says it is written, which is the usual way to introduce inspired scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:19 reads like this, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." So the New Testament writers treated the book of Job as the inspired scripture. Was Job a real person? Ezekiel 14:14 speaks of Job, Daniel, and Noah as being righteous men. So just as surely as Daniel and Noah were real, so also was Job. Ezekiel 14:14 says, "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God." The book might well be called an historical poem. That is, it is a poem based on an event which actually happened. We fully believe this man Job lived during the patriarchal age, and that God recognized him as a faithful patriarch. He was one of the righteous who lived before the time of the law of Moses. This book is good use to the church. It's inspired scripture, and we need to know the message. Many passages in this book are dark and hard to be understood. We may not know the true meaning of every word and every phrase. This book makes a lot of work for those who would try to explain it, but enough of it is plain to make the whole book profitable, and it is something that was written for our learning. We'd like to notice several points in this book. Here we get a look at the doctrine of those who were the early worshipers of the true God several thousand years ago. One who was a patriarch, yet not given the promise of Abraham nor the laws of Moses. The great principles of the patriarchal age are here believed and in a warm and long and learned discussion expounded upon, laid down as eternal truth, and taught in a believable manner. Has the being of God, His glorious attributes and perfections, His unsearchable wisdom, His irresistible power, His inconceivable glory, His inflexible justice, and His incontestable sovereignty ever been taught with more clearness, fullness, reverence, and divine eloquence than in this book of Job? The creation of the world and the government of it are here beautifully described, not as matters to be questioned and disputed about, not as some theory, but as facts which obligate us to fear and serve, to submit to and trust in our Creator, Owner, Lord, and Ruler. Moral good and evil, virtue and vice, were never more appropriately applied to life than in this book. Nor has the unchangeable rule of God's justice been more plainly established, which says, "Happy are the righteous, it shall be well with them, and woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them." The principles taught in this book are sacred truths to which all the wise in every age have followed. This book is an example of Gentile righteousness. Job descended not from Abraham, but Nahor his brother, or if from Abraham, not from Isaac, but from one of the sons of the concubines that were sent into the east country, Genesis 25:6, or if from Isaac, yet not from Jacob, but Esau, so that he was not included in the covenant to Abraham, not as an Israelite, not a proselyte, and yet none like him for being faithful to God and being well-pleasing to Jehovah. Acts 10:34-35, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." John 11:52, "And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." This book gives an explanation of two of the hardest subjects of life, the prosperity of the wicked and the afflictions of the righteous. Here we are truly given insights about these matters. This book is a great example of patience and close loyalty to God in the face of the worst calamities which can happen to humans. Job maintains his passive steadfastness and unerring devotion, yet endured all the torture, the malice of hell could invent. We see Job as a type of Christ. Each was a great sufferer, was stripped of all and humbled, but each, after remaining faithful while he suffered, was eventually given much greater glory. So Christ humbled himself that we may be exalted. So beginning with verse 1 of the first chapter of Job, we read, "There was a